We're going to talk more about the peace offering. You know, as we look around here and we think, you know, we're talking about some kind of a interchange or commerce with Ryan, or some kind of an intercourse, if you will. And Harry's the thing that's happening with Alexis. There's something falling apart. The feeling that there's something falling apart with Cheryl or with Jason, it looks like it's already been shattered. The thousands of things that are going on with Brian, but they all have a common denominator, and that is, what is the basis of abiding? What is the basis of continuing in anything, in a relationship or in a marriage or in a Bible study or in a church? What in the God's name has sustained us? Why have we continued this long? It's crazy. I mean, we have nothing. We still have nothing. We're always on the verge of being totally having nothing. I mean, we've been that way forever, but we've been together for 14 years. Why? It'll be 14 years, but Angela is 14. Angela will be 14 in September.
Yeah. Well, geez, now that you mention it, maybe we ought to just break up.
I was going to just say that. Yeah, I was going to say that. No, I was going to say that. Serious. I'm not kidding. That we quit.
Quit doing what?
That we fast. That somehow we come to an understanding of what a spiritual fast is and find out why and what it is that keeps us together. You know, if you're here, or people are here because they're afraid they're can't make it in the world, then they're here for the wrong reason. Even if you're here because there's nowhere else for you to go, you're here for the wrong reason. That was okay for a while. That's not okay anymore. Now it has to be you're here because of a sense of mission or destiny. Without that sense of mission or destiny, you're just wasting time. And it's like, if you think about the courses of a meal, it's like if you're totally starving and you're then you can afford to eat. I mean, you'll eat all kinds of shit. You'll eat your garments, as we found out about. You'll eat spoiled food. You'll eat worm-eaten, corrupted manna of the mind. You will force yourself into relationships because you're afraid at the gut level that if you didn't have that, you would die.
You'd be accountable, too.
And you'd eat anything. But there has to come in the course of time a crossover point in which you become a connoisseur of spiritual foods. You become someone that demands only the best that there is. And that there is something that sustains you that's more than just the fact that, well, I can't make it anywhere else, or I'm afraid, or that the thing that sustains you has to have a higher order, a higher morality, a higher priority, and it has to be something that's done on a how can I say it? The only time that an alliance or a conspiracy or a secret conspiracy is allowed, or alliance is allowed in the spirit, is over the peace offering. And we must have an alliance or a conspiracy about this, so that it elevates our consciousness into something other than just hanging around, or that I'm just here because I can't be here, because I can't make it anywhere else, or I'm afraid to go outside, or if I make these people mad at me, then, because right now about half the people in this in the group are running around back in fear. They're afraid to say anything because they're afraid, you know, they're going to get kicked out, or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen. And the basis for staying together is the wrong damn thing. You understand? It's not fellowship. It's most people, you know, if you believe your talk, especially the Levites, the only reason you're here is because you're afraid of me. Well, that's the stupidest reason in the universe to be here. You understand? The thing has to elevate to a different level of your consciousness. It has to somehow be connected to... If we think about this peace offering, the peace offering sustains, it strengthens, it does all of these great things, but towards some end. It doesn't just do it so you can hang around. So the mystery of the peace offering is that it's connected to preparation for a purpose. A purpose that will consume you by its nature. A purpose that will obliterate all other possible purposes. You understand? And we don't have that here. We have a bunch of people hanging around. Somehow, the taste buds must be we must learn to appreciate the peace offering. We must exercise our taste buds to be only satisfied with it. And with nothing else. It's like, you know, I went for a long time and had all kinds of money, and I could eat anything I wanted to in the natural, and I only ate the best foods. I couldn't even stand a hamburger. I mean, it made me, anything that had that much grease on it would make me ill. And all of a sudden I lost everything. And, you know, and then pretty soon my system got acclimated to eating anything. But there's a thing that takes place, especially in appreciation of fine wines, or the real appreciation of good food, that it causes you that you cannot stand to eat anything that is of an inferior quality. Or if it's a wine, you cannot stand the other wines become totally offensive to you if they're not of that just right vintage and prepared just exactly right. And if the sauces aren't exactly right and the food isn't exactly right prepared, it becomes odious to you and you'd rather not eat than eat. Well, okay, so in the natural we say those people are prigs or self-righteous idiots, they're wasteful, but in the spirit, that's where we must be. We've got a bunch of junk food spiritualists here now that are satisfied with the lowest form of spiritual phenomenon, that eat the, you know, it's like we've got hamburger helper of the peace offering. You understand me? There's no appreciation for the finer subtleties of the peace offering. Wait till we get to the drink offering. We haven't even gotten there yet. But I want your senses to be so attuned that you will not take or accept anything less than the peace offering perfectly prepared. I want you to become so fucking arrogant about spiritual food that you will refuse to eat anything but the finest. That you would rather starve than eat anything other than that perfect peace offering. Now, well, this isn't the way Christians are supposed to be. Yes, it is. You're supposed to be the most discriminating of the people in the universe. You're supposed to have more class and elan than anybody in the pot that ever dreamed of having. What? Well, what does this mean? How does this hit you? Is this offending you?
What? What you just said? No.
Well, what does it mean?
Well, I'm waiting for you to tie it into the fast part.
One of the things that happens in a fast is that by nature, if you fasted for 7 days, you could not eat a hamburger. You could not eat a Twinkie. God. Why? Because your system by nature is acclimated to eat only the finest foods, and yet you, by your consciousness, by the evil one, screw it up.
Return to the old way.
Yeah, and your taste buds are real, real sensitive. Slightest bit of salt.
It kind of returns you to what you were created to to consume.
And but that you don't have any truck for or any patience for fellowship based on anything other than the perfect peace offering. You understand? So that what happens is you become totally intolerant within the body, but totally tolerant externally.
I don't follow that last part of it. You mean in this body of believers, you become totally
intolerant of anything except the perfect peace offering. But you know it exists nowhere else, so you don't give a shit. You don't try to put your standards on the world. Aren't you tired of having your basis of relationships on something other than the peace offering? Aren't you tired of having your marriages, you know, there's this stuff that goes on, and you end up tolerating each other, or well, I got something to say to him or her, or in your Bible studies. I mean, the fact that some people in the Bible studies think that they don't know their home, that's intolerable. I don't care if you have two people left. I want the preaching to, because see, the only way that peace offering can be eaten is this, for the preaching is the hardest you've ever dreamed it to be. But what about all these things? What about all the relationships around here that are based on something other, they're based on things like friendship or appearance or intelligence or lack of intelligence or lowest common denominator stuff? That's a good one. Don't you see that every time that you base a relationship or toleration for another person or discussions with another person on anything other than the perfect peace offering, it's leaven, and it's going to fail, and it's going to screw up, and leaven's going to leaven the whole lump, and the tolerance for this body can't, I mean, it's going to become terrible.
Every once in a while, something comes along that starts to get us to seeing that in this thing about no truces, or, you know, there's probably 10,000 other words you could have used to describe it, but that's having that effect. You know, it's having an effect in our Bible study and in the rest of our relationships right now. I think it's kind of, you know, we can say it's because Passover coming up, it's just kind of...
Yeah, it's sweeping, all tied together.
It's sweeping...
Sweeping the camp.
Like a disease or like a...
Laxative.
Like I said, well, are you proposing we don't meet for a while? Is it the
bottom line? What's the bottom line?
That's
the bottom
line. What's this smash shit?
What's the tracks? You got some tracks.
What does this mean to me?
I don't know if you're talking about stealth or everybody or...
Just to run the street.
Just to run the street.
No, just
to... We have meetings all the time.
Are you talking about confessing yourself?
You have to confess yourself.
But can you imagine what you define, how your being defines communion or fellowship or sharing or relationships? Or, it's on all kinds of garbage. One of the things about, you know, just think of all the things that you define relationships. You define relationships on the basis of bloodlines. You know, your relatives. Well, that's pretty stupid. When you all see the vanity of that, but yet we still do it. Why? Why do you tolerate in the bloodline what you wouldn't tolerate in the spirit?
Probably inheritance. If there's anything, it's like where you think.
You might get an inheritance?
Yeah, where you think you might get an inheritance or some kind of deal. You know, how are you going to profit, that you would profit somehow by it?
Do you understand that when you tolerate what you tolerate by blood that you wouldn't tolerate in spirit, you're killing your bloodline? You're killing them? You're poisoning them? You're giving them a false basis of reality? You as might as well be buying them a ticket to hell. You understand that? Is this stuff true or isn't it? Is the cross real? Is everything else phony or isn't it? Then how come you've tolerated for all these years fellowship, communion, based on bloodlines? Well, because it wasn't time. I just didn't have an opportunity. Hey, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you really understand?
Bloodline.
Well, Bloodline means a basis of the only reason that you know your relatives is because you're related to them by blood, by genetics. Okay, so you treat your bloodline different than you would in here. You say different things to them. You expect, you establish communion based on other values. The test is, and this is the purpose of a rabbi in one sense, the test is, would you say anything to them that you wouldn't say to me? Or would you tolerate anything in your Bible studies that you would that you tolerate in them? You understand me?
Yeah.
You're sentencing them to death, spiritual death, eternal death. You're not doing the watchman's duty. Why? Because you are sharing on some other basis than the peace offering with your bloodlines. Do you understand that? I hope you do.
It's like treating everybody like they were in your Bible study, even if they're not in there. And you just speak to them, respond to what it is they're talking about.
You want me to read something to you? Go to Ezekiel 33. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them. Now, who are the children of your people? It's anybody that you have, that's anybody that's in your world. When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if you, the watchman, you know, you've all heard this. If you don't speak it, their blood is on you. He will require their blood of you. What does that mean?
Their death is on your hands.
Hmm?
Their death is on your hands.
No. We can't know the full extent of what that means in the spirit. Other places it says, you shall be saved, but the effect of it you can never know. And we can't know until the end comes. But I know that the longer I study and know about the peace offering, the more I know what a watchman's duty is. The more I know and am consumed with the zeal that is exclusive to this. The more I know that if I have relationships with anyone in the universe on a basis other than the peace offering, I am killing them.
Can't apprehend the peace offering if you're willing to say peace, peace when there is no peace.
See thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Do you have any doubt in your mind, in your conscious mind at this instant, that the words that you have learned here in this place are from God? If you have no doubt, then tell me about the watchman's duty. See, because at the core, you don't really believe it. At the core, you believe it's a philosophy, it's a choice. That this is simply another kind of thing. Unless you're a zealot or a zealot, you don't believe. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked shall die in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at thy hand. Who is the wicked? The wicked is the one that's consumed in self-seeking. I don't know any place where they're not consumed in self-seeking in my world. Problem is, I don't know how to do this. How do you do this? Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we live then? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil way, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Now, the reason I'm saying this is because I want you to see how much of your daily activity is based on eating something less than the peace offering and being satisfied with it. Think about, let's just start, think about your parents. What do you think about it? Think about your relatives. Blood relatives. What does this mean to the blood relatives in your life? What does it mean to the people that you say or who you say you love in your life? Saint Valentine went to his death in the spirit because of the peace offering. In one real sense, he was forbidden to continue marrying, and he married, and he was killed on this day. But he, you know, it would have been very easy to just turn it slightly. How much of your relationships have you just turned slightly? How much of it have you manipulated just slightly? You know, I mean, Harry's deal with Alexis was doomed from the start because it was nothing but manipulation. It was turned slightly. You know, your relationship with your mother is doomed from the start. It's all turned slightly. It's manipulation. It's truce. You know, all the way around the room. There's an infinite number of truces. There's an infinite number of fellowship based on something less than fellowship. What do? Go out and purposely? I don't know what you do. All I know is that you must be willing to sever versus having anything less than pure. I'm not saying you're going to go out and do anything about it tomorrow morning and run on, okay, from now, you know, you try to explain the peace offering, you'd never be able to do it. But you know, intuit. You intuit when you sell out, when you turn it slightly. And the senses must be exercised to such an extent that you instantly know when you leave spirit and go to flesh. When you leave spirit and go to soul. And that, because it's all tied here. I mean, the only thing that can sustain a relationship forever is the peace offering. Blood can't, feelings can't, looks can't, intelligence can't, sex can't. The only thing that can sustain that relationship forever, that can feed it, is the peace offering. We are a forever people. Our lives are hid with God in Christ. If we are going to live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. If we're walking in the Spirit, we can have no relationships that are based on anything other than the peace offering. Now, the peace offering means, do you understand? If you understand the peace offering, it means you cannot expect anything in return from that you're giving. If you understand the peace offering, what it is, it's the gleanings of the field that you leave for the poor and the widows. You understand me?
I don't understand that.
It's only the poor and the widow. The poor and the widows that are going to, and the orphans that are going to hear, that are going to be able to eat, are hungry to have the peace offering. And so your communication becomes the peace offering, becomes the corners of the field for them. But the instance is, if you own the field, you don't know whether or not they're even eating from it or not. I mean, do you understand?
Yeah, that's me.
All you know in this peace offering is that you're giving it all. You're not shading, hiding, turning,
cruising.
Right. It's all
out. And it's real hard. I mean, it's relatively easy for me vis-a-vis my relatives, because, you know, my mother and Brenda and my sister are the only ones I have any dealings with. The other ones have written me off long ago. My mother, whenever I see her, I explode. She hears sometimes. Sometimes she doesn't hear. Brenda doesn't want to hear anything about it. My sister thinks it's, you know, some intellectual thing. I don't know how I would do if I had to have daily or weekly or monthly contact like some of you do. I'm not denigrating the difficult. I mean, I'm not making the difficulty less than I know it's difficult, because there's all kinds of things, there's real things going on. There are incredible forces at work. Financial. I mean, you can easily say if you're not in that condition, but if you're in that condition, you're it's there. I'm not saying that I don't understand it. It's difficult. But I promise you that you will not sustain the relationship with them unless you begin sharing the peace offering. You will not have any joy in your relationships in the body unless it's based on the peace offering. You will not have any joy in your marriages unless what's shared is the peace offering. It's what fellowship is. It's the mystery that God and man are sharing in the same food. In one sense, the idea of time and the idea of the passage of time in our lives has but one function, and that is that we would learn what is unclean, that we would, at the end of the journey, we would know what is unclean. But not only that we would know what is unclean, is that we would have no desire for it. That's the biggie. That's the difference between us and religion. Religion just puts the muzzle on the dog. We have to transform the dog. She didn't want to bite anymore. It's not brainwashing, it has to be something else. What it is that slowly but surely, by exercise, by using it, by doing it, by tasting it, by whatever metaphor we want to use, we find out what is unclean. Now, that's biggie. We would like to have, in some way, you know, our fellowship based on our problems, or our attainments, or our works, our service, our love, our confession, our repentance, how much we study the Bible, how we don't close Bibles. How we hold our hands. Looks, intelligence, understanding. All of those things are what we want to have. But all of those in the spirit are unclean. Do you understand? They cannot be the basis of anything lasting. They'll only be the basis of something temporal, which is really temporal for us, because we are hid with God in Christ. Now, it sounds, you know, like, I can remember when I was a kid, if somebody would have said this stuff to me, I'd have told them they were crazy. You know, because I knew where life was. Life was in power. I was convinced that life, for me, was in power in the world. It's not there. Each one of you were convinced that life was in something, or many things. The problem that I have is some of you, if you failed in doing it, you still think that life is in those things. The reason that we're a body is so that you will know that life isn't in those things. You know, I want Gary to be freed, and I hope, and I don't want to bring up any dead issue, but I want you to be freed so that you will know there's no sustenance or strength in the things that you haven't done. I want the kids to be able to know that. We're having incredible things like we're doing the kids, you know, we're going back into the childhood stuff in Bananas to try to find the difference between truces and forgiveness. And Benji's here, you know, and I've been with her since she's little. And so we're talking about, I said, everything that the female knows about forgiveness, she's learned from her father. But what it is, it's interesting. It's not that you learn it, you think it's about forgiveness, but really what you've learned is how to have an effective truce. So the child knows nothing about forgiveness. What their mind says is forgiveness is only an effective truce. But the female learns everything about that from the father, and the male learns everything about that from the mother. So what has to happen is we have to go back to those memories and find out that God is our father and the body is our mother, and we were there with them back in those instances. Well, you know, I know Angela's life like a book. You know, there's a whole lot of secret stuff I don't know, but I can guess. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens in her when we go back and do that. She's fascinated. I mean, she's going crazy. I mean, she loves it.
Yeah, I like her stuff.
And then she loves it when I make fun of people.
Except when it says.
Did you hear last night?
It was the worst ever.
Laughing and mocking
at whose expense.
Let me get this straight. You were mocked all evening in Bible study, and then you went and called your girlfriend in Seattle, and she broke up with you.
exactly right.
What a day.
Cruel mockings and scourgings.
God loves you, Harry. He's got a plan for your life.
It's not going to be in the tape room.
But the idea that you believe that there can be strength or sustenance in something back here is the spot on the body of Christ. It's the wrinkle that is causing the garment to be spotted by the flesh. And that's what must come forth. That's what we must be about. And I don't care if we are the only ones in the universe doing this. We must do it, and we must do it as a witness to the body of Christ. And that's a big job. But if the 100th monkey theory is true,
or if it even exists,
then yeah, Doug as a researcher isn't doing worth a shit.
Well, I mean, if you give me something real to research,
try the 200th antelope theory.
I told you what to do.
Yeah,
what
about still for researching?
I told you what to do.
I haven't done it.
What?
Things are processes. You don't understand process.
She's the one promulgating.
Lily Tomlin, of course.
Anyway, we have, I mean, it's like you can't take this stuff lightly. We can't, you know, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that consider you lightly. We can't take it lightly. We can't take what we're about lightly. We cannot begin to, we must begin to be, have some discernment in what, and elegance in what we eat. What satisfies us? What sustains us? We must learn of the elegance of the peace offering and be sustained by nothing else. And at the same time, then we'll learn shortly the same thing about the drink offering. Okay? But don't let anything else, I mean, recognize that everything else will fail. And don't be deceived by it. I mean, not even for an instant, not even for a minute in your marriages. You know, I mean, you understand how quickly you revert back to flesh? Quickly you revert back to the ancient ways that are so sick. Or in your fantasy life, you know, you think, well, if I just had this, then that would happen. Well, that's not the basis of anything. That won't sustain. There's no life there. And even in those that there is life, demand the finest. Push it to the limit. And the children, we've got to start now. Showing and beginning to show them what these finer foods are of the Spirit. Make it so they can be satisfied in hearing nothing else. That'll make their life a whole lot easier. That'll make their trip into the world a whole lot shorter.
It's already accept anything. It's not, I mean, every once in a while something will whet their appetite, but if it's just talk, they don't have anything to do with it. It bores them.
And if it's rules or liturgies, I mean, we're on a neat little thing here, the meaning of time and space.
Yeah.
Neat little thing. But demand the restaurant serve the finest food. Send it back if it doesn't taste good.
Definitely the best wine.
The best wine.
I did that for the first time, the simple food, but Pete sends his feedback whether it's good or not.
It's his way of exerting himself. Well, think on these things. And if you don't think on them, we're going to go on a fast.
Ice cream.
Speaking of a fast.
Take it, big guy.